All right, Tyler here responding to a call from and a voicemail from a Quora. So this is a message for Quora responding to your inquiry, and there may be other people getting the benefit of listening to this as well. So Quora says that she has some questions and she wants to, or she's working on sending letters to her mortgage company. She hasn't paid the mortgage in 3 years and filed bankruptcy. Says that the bankruptcy went through and her debts were discharged. So she wants some information on letters, needs some guidance. She wants to remove the lien because the what's she saying? Bankruptcy's been discharged, but there's a lien on her house. Okay. I just want to know what my next step is. Sent a letter trying to stop them. Call me to give me some guidance. My number is blah blah blah. Available. Okay, so that's basically it. So, for seasoned people in this may be an oversimplification, but for many, this may be information that you've never heard before. So, you know, please forgive me. I try to talk and answer and give guidance based on a variety of different levels that people are at. Okay, so. What I would say is, what you have to understand, and this is not, you don't have to come to me for this, you don't have to come, you don't have to go to any sovereignty website, you don't have to go to any debt elimination website or tactics or asset protection strategies, or you don't have to, this is basic public information, what I'm going to tell you, that you can find out from using Google. You can just find this out. It's public information. You can ask attorneys. You can ask, you know, in today's day and age, if you don't know an attorney that you can just ask a quick question to, or you have a family friend who's an attorney, or you run a business or your family member runs a business and they have an attorney that works for them, you know, you could just, hey, ask the attorney, you know, this, just basic information, or you can use online, you can do web browsing and you can look up the information. It's not extensive research to figure certain things out, but then, you know, there's a lot of things that has never been taught to you in life that you have no, you know, blame for not knowing. They don't, you know, explain to people things. There's a big problem in our public fool system, the quote educational system, and people graduate from high school and college and they don't even know basic information about finance. They don't know basic information about banking. They don't know basic information about the legal system. They just don't know. So hopefully in over time we can help educate people in a different system and teach people how to learn, or teaching people some life skills to be a properly functioning adult and to know what their options are legally and procedures and different things like that. It's kind of like when people graduate school, they just go through life and they get into legal problems and financial problems, and then they got to go and they got to talk to, they have to figure it out as they go along. They don't, it's not like they, you know, they don't tell you when you graduate high school and college, hey, here's some things that could happen. Here's some things that happen to most people. Here, this is the bankruptcy procedure. These are the options. This is what happens. This is what it does. This is what it doesn't do. And then these are some other options. They don't tell people, so it's not your fault for not knowing this. However, I just want to stress that this is basic information that you can find on Google. Okay, and there's basic websites. There's a great website called justanswers.com as well, and you can ask an attorney in any area of specialty, you know, estate planning, foreclosure, mortgage procedures, you know, breach of contract, personal injury, you know, occupational hazards injury, you know, all the different hundreds of different areas of law. You can select the area of law, and you could select the state or country jurisdiction, and you can ask a local attorney that is familiar with that state's laws any question, and you can pay per question. You can pay, I think it's around $20 or so, just to ask a lawyer a question. So it's a very powerful service. And you could, I think you can pay something like $88 a month to get unlimited questions from unlimited lawyers all over the world. And they usually respond within 5 to 10 minutes. You know, so there's some basic stuff that you can learn yourself. And I, you know, and a lot of people come to me for information that's basic and that's out there. I like to represent our company being having unique non-public strategies and procedures that attorneys don't know about or wouldn't tell you about, and the corporations and governments and powers that be wouldn't tell you about. That's what we try to specialize in. So try to do your own research to find basic information that's already out there that you don't need to come to us for, because we have a limited amount of people, we have a limited amount of time. And try to do your research first on any questions, answers, procedures, and things that are public. And then when you look at what you're dealing with, and you look at your options, and you're looking for alternative strategies and procedures that might be hidden from you as an alternative option, then come to us and ask what our experiences are, and if there's a possibility that you can have an alternative remedy for your situation. Okay, so with that out of the way, I just wanted to cover that because a lot of people will be listening to this. To answer this woman's question, what was her name, Cora? Now bankruptcy is a public process that you can discharge pretty much all your debts, or most of them, okay? But you have to go through and get special permission and procedures, and the government has jurisdiction, federal courts have jurisdiction, and you know, you have to disclose all your assets, you have to give up all your assets, potentially. So it's really not something that I like. It's really not something that I recommend unless you have to do it. There's a lot of people, you file one thing wrong on a bankruptcy application and years later they audit it and they look at it, and you can get into a lot of trouble. It's called bankruptcy fraud. If you omit any information, if you make a mistake on the information that you submit, then bankruptcy fraud. 5-year jail sentence. So, you know, bankruptcy is an option to discharge debt, but you also have the liability where if there's a mistake or an omission on there, or if you purposely are hiding or hoarding some information, you know, some cash on hand, or, you know, things that you're entitled to inherit, or different money that you have in different companies or whatever. If you're hiding or withholding information that's found out, then obviously you can get into trouble. So if you do not want to disclose all your assets and your property and give all that up to pay all your debts, then, you know, that's not the best remedy. So I really hate bankruptcy. But this woman is claiming that she, or explaining that she filed bankruptcy already. So since you filed bankruptcy already, your debts were, at that point in time, whatever the bankruptcy court ordered, you know, most of your debts were, you cannot discharge student loans. There's some things that you cannot discharge. Okay, tax debt. In Canada, you can actually discharge the CRA, Canada Revenue, tax debt. But in the US, you cannot. So there's certain things you can, there's certain things that you cannot. And, that's just basic information. You know, you can ask an attorney if you're not sure. Hey, in this situation, blah, 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 can I discharge this in a bankruptcy? And you can get that information. You don't need to get that information from me. Okay, that's public information that is out there. It's on the internet, it's on Google, it's on forums, it's on, you know, Yahoo Answers, and, you know, all the different sites that come up when you type a question into Google. Just type questions into Google, and you read all, not just the first thing that comes up, read all 10 results that come up, and use your discernment and determine, and try to get to the bottom of the matter. Because just because someone says something on the internet doesn't mean it's true. You have to really dissect the source and see if it's just somebody that's posting what their opinion is, or according to who, who's saying what, okay? So, this is kind of a lesson for people that are haven't had it on just how to research. You know, in school, they don't really teach us how to research. So, let's see. In a bankruptcy, they can, and they do, usually eliminate your mortgage debt. So you do not owe the mortgage anymore. So that is eliminated in the bankruptcy. Your mortgage is eliminated. But that's not really a, I mean, it's beneficial, but a lot, I think a lot of people have the misconception about that. Your mortgage debt is eliminated. This woman's mortgage, I have no doubt in my mind that they eliminated the mortgage debt. It's not in her name anymore. She doesn't owe the money on the mortgage. Okay? So what does that mean? Well, what that means is that they cannot garnish her wages. They cannot put any other liens on any other property that she acquires in her name for the rest of her life. They cannot levy funds from her bank account or any other accounts, you know, I don't know, pension accounts, retirement accounts, government trust accounts. They cannot levy, they cannot lien, they cannot garnish, because she doesn't owe the debt anymore. It's wiped out, it's discharged. It's zero, it's discharged. The mortgage company, in a discharge, the bank, the lender, the quote-unquote mortgage lender, we all know that they're not really lenders, they never really lend you anything, but for the sake of clarifying the name of the party, the bank, the lender that quote lent you the your own credit back to you, right? Which we know when you sign the promissory note, you created credit. That note, you know, out of that piece of paper having zero value, now you signing it, now it has a value of whatever, 300,000, whatever the value, that whatever the value is, right? So now you made a promise and creating an obligation, you created, out of nothing, you created something with an asset, a positive asset worth $300,000, let's say, just to use that number. It's the value of a lot of homes in America. So people will say, I'm going to sign this promissory note, I'm going to give you the promissory note, and I'm going to sign the mortgage too, and now the mortgage contract obligates you to make monthly payments for 30 years at X percent interest, this and that, whatever, but also has specific terms in there that say, notice of lien. So you consent and agree to have a lien filed on the property. And that's also referred to as an encumbrance. Okay, look up that word, liens, encumbrances, Google, look up, determine, you know, understand what the words mean if you have never done that before. This is new to you. So you've signed a contract separate from the promissory note that you agreed, because the home was, I'm not going to explain that. Basically, you agreed to let the bank put a lien on the house, okay? Now, a lien is kind of like, I don't know why they call it a lien. Maybe because the way I describe it is, you have this asset, this piece of property, and by someone else leaning on it, like putting their foot on your foot, right? They're preventing, if someone heavier than you or stronger than you puts their right foot onto your left foot and stands on it. You can't really move. You can't move around. You can take kind of, you can try to take a step with your other foot and move your body around a little bit, but you can't really get up and walk away. You can't run away because you can't lift up your foot. Someone else is leaning on your foot with their foot and you can't move. And until you release the lean and get their foot off of your foot, you can't go anywhere, right? You're not free. You can't walk away, run away. You're not free until you get that person's foot off your foot. So that's what a lean, I think that's where the word actually comes from. They're leaning on your property, okay? They're not leaning on you per se, they're leaning on your property. So that property is not free, and you're not free to maneuver that property, transfer it to other people, whatever. I mean, you can, but there's a lien on it. You can transfer the property to a trust, you can sell the house to someone else, but you need to disclose that there's a lien on it, otherwise that's fraud. You can't, you know, but they're gonna do a title search, and you know, when the houses are sold or whatever, people look up at the land records. Oh, let's see the history of the liens, and if there's any releases of liens or satisfaction of mortgages, discharges of the lien. And so a title search would be able to determine whether or not the house is unencumbered, whether it is free and clear before someone made a decision whether or not to purchase it. Now, when you deed the property over to somebody else or another trust, company, individual, whatever, there's a couple different categories. A quitclaim deed is just, no matter what, I'm gonna release all my claims and interests in the property to someone else no matter what the situation is. So a lot of times people, just to get things out of their name or to put it into a trust or whatever, they do quitclaim deed. A warranty deed would be more like the seller is giving a warranty about certain conditions, whether or not there is a lien or encumbrance, the state and condition of the property. You know, when you sell automobiles, have you guys ever heard of the Lemon Law? Okay, in certain states, they have something called the Lemon Law, so that if you buy a car from someone, if it turns out to be a lemon, which is the phrase that they use for if the car turns out to be a piece of shit and you can't really use it, the engine breaks down within, you know, a day or two of using it, you know, then you can get your money back. That sale is voided, okay? So, you know, when you look at contracts, I mean, we've all signed contracts over our life, but nobody reads them. There are certain warranty clauses in all the contracts that we sign, or if there's no warranty clause, then you have to go based off of what the courts determine the default norm is, right? If it's not expressed in the contract, then they're gonna go based off of some default, right? So it's either not gonna be in there or it is gonna be expressed, and whatever is expressed in there will supersede what the usual norm practices are. So you can detail it whatever you want. You could say without warranty, you can say with full warranty of all the, you know, XYZ conditions, and you can express that in the contract somewhere. Now, the other thing is you can sell a car or you could sell anything to someone. You could sell your computer, you could sell your house, you could sell a car, you could sell anything, quote, as is. Right, and if someone agrees to a contract and they say, well, I'm buying this from you, quote, as is, then it doesn't matter if it breaks 5 seconds later. You see how that works? So something to keep in mind, okay? Warranties and, you know, as is and all the different colors of the rainbow of layers of that you can do when you have a contract and you sell something or buy something. Or sign something or transfer something. So the thing is that if you go to the land records, now if you've never done this and you're serious about doing, you know, learning these types of things, or you're involved with this thing, do it. Do some research. They should do this when people are in fifth grade, when people are in ninth grade. they should do this field trip. Let's go down to the county office and let's go down to the land records department. Or, you know what? Why don't they do a tour in sixth grade, seventh grade? I mean, they did these, you know, I remember going on a tour to, or field trip to Washington, D.C., and we got to look at the White House. You know, we stood outside the White House and we, you know, took pictures. You know, okay, I saw the White House with my own eyes. I do believe that it exists, right? I really physically saw the White House in Washington, D.C., and I saw a bunch of other things, too. That's great. But how come they never took us any field trips to, and they, what was another field trip I did? I think I went ziplining. I think I went ziplining in the middle of the woods. And, you know, I did a bunch of, I remember a bunch of field trips, okay? Hey, do you remember field day? Do you remember field day when you were in, fourth, fifth, sixth grade? They had field day. And all the different classes competed with each other and did all these different activities and tug of war with a big rope. You know, okay, so they do all these field trip things, but they never took us to the county. They never took us to, you know, there are some schools. Yeah, there are some schools that take people into courthouses. I've actually seen that, where little kids come in. They do it, I've seen it in New York. The little kids come in and they sit there and they observe and they watch for a couple hours the courtroom procedure. They watch the people come in and whatever, you know, criminal cases, they get arraigned and the judges, you know, and the attorneys, and then they watch the whole procedure. So that's, you know, I can, you know, whether I don't really agree with all the procedure that they do, but, you know, it's good that we're teaching people and showing people that are in school this is what is going on and this is how it works, so that at a young age, so that they can learn how the world works and how the legal system works and how all these things work. But they never bring people down to the county and show them, you know, the for example, the land, let's just talk about this. I don't want to go on forever with this audio, but the land records department. And they don't teach you how to look up properties. It's public information. You can go to the land records department. You can type in any address. You can find out who lives there, right? You can find out, not necessarily who lives there. You can find out who owns the property. The person who owns the property might be leasing it or renting it to other people that live there. That's not public information, okay? When you sign a lease, when you rent to live in a property owned by someone else, that never gets recorded publicly. That's just private. But you can find out who the owner is by going to the land records. They have little computer terminals, and if it's your first time there, you can say, hey, it's my first time here. I'm doing some legal research on properties, can you tell me? And they'll give you some instruction, or they'll give you a sheet, or they'll tell you, you know, how to do it. And so it's a little bit of trial and error first, but you can look up properties and you can see, and you can pull up the mortgages. The mortgages that people sign are public records. They get recorded at the land records and they're all public and they're all there. And then you can see, just take for example one piece of property that maybe has a lot of activity on it. You can go back decades and decades and hundreds of years probably, and you can find the entire history of the previous owners, the previous mortgages, the previous satisfactions of mortgages and releases of the liens, and then the sale to the new buyer who lives in it, you know, the next time, or who lives in it now. So you can get that whole chain of title, you can get that whole history and just read from back to forward, and you can see what happened, who lived there, what mortgages, you know, and you can kind of see how the value of the property either increased or decreased over time by looking at the numbers and the mortgages and different things like that, okay? So that gives you a little bit of perspective if you've never done that before. If you've never done that before, go do it if you're interested at all in this or in empowering yourself as far as mortgages, foreclosures, helping people, bankruptcies. To make it all real to you, do it. I've done it many, many times, but I'm no expert at it. I just do things. When I want to learn things, I just go and I do things. I am my own teacher and I command myself to go, hey, you never learned how to do that. Go and do it. This is an opportunity. You know, this is an opportunity to go and learn something and have some degree of knowledge of something that I previously knew nothing about, okay? So it's kind of like cars, you know? When you're 16 years old and you've never had a car before, you don't really care how to change the oil of a car. You don't really care unless you, you know, grew up and your dad was a mechanic or you worked in a mechanic's office. You know, a mechanic's garage, you know, you don't care anything about how the car works, how the engine works and all the different things, the spark plugs, and I mean, you don't care. You really don't care. You know, at a little age, you kind of learn a little bit about, oh, checking the tires, you know, before you get in the car, you know, make sure that, you know, the tires are inflated and, you know, how to fix a tire at some point. We all learn how to fix a tire, I think, right? And at a young age, you kind of learn a little bit with bicycles, you know, the gears, and you learn about the tires and the bike, and you get a flat tire on your bike. We've all got flat tires on our bikes riding around as kids in our neighborhoods, I'm sure. So we know the importance of tires. Then we get cars, and we got to learn the importance of changing the oil and different things like that. So doesn't it make sense that when you need to use something and there's going to be maintenance and situations and problems, you know, when someone is, a lot of times we go to our parents and, you know, hey, you know, my car won't start. You know, so they pull up the hood and they kind of troubleshoot it for you, or a friend mechanic comes over, or you bring it into a shop somewhere in a garage and, you know, doesn't it make sense to kind of observe and kind of get at least a basic understanding of what's going on? That's the engine. Do you even remember the first time? I can't remember the first time. I'm sure it's happened though. At some point, somebody lifted up the hood. Even the experience of someone opening up the hood. I mean, when you're 15, you don't know how to open up the hood of a car. Eventually, someone shows you, this is the lever you pull, and then this is bump, bump, bump. Here's a little trick to do, you know? And eventually you learn. And then someone points and says, that's the engine, that's the transmission, that's where you put the oil, that's where you put the washer fluid, you know, this is the spark plug, this is kind of how it works. And you are at least a little bit empowered by knowing what's going on. And you pick up things over the course of time, as we've all had cars, right, that have had problems and have had to be fixed at some point. And so through our life experiences of this, we pick up and we get the basic idea. You know, and then as life goes on and time goes on, we learn about the belt system and, you know, we learn about the brakes and we learn there's a certain noise. And from experience, I know, oh, that is the brakes being worn down and rubbing up against each other, and that's not good. I got to get that fixed soon. So now we kind of know. Now, although I may not be a mechanic and I may not be able to fix these problems myself, I know where to go to and approximately how much it costs. And I also know that I can go online, and there's many different auto forums and websites. You can actually go to the same site that runs justanswers.com. Actually, yeah, it is justanswers.com. You can ask any lawyer a question about any area of law in any jurisdiction, and you can ask any mechanic a question about any year, make, model, car, and you'll be able to ask a mechanic specific questions for like $10, $20 a question, or like I said, I think it's $88 a month for unlimited, and you guys have unlimited questions to unlimited experts in the field of law, mechanics. There's dozens of different areas. I don't remember them off the top of my head right now, but it's basically an ask an expert site. So if you have something that's wrong with your car, you go to Just Answers and you ask a mechanic, and he'll guide you in the right direction. Oh, you need to replace this part with this thing, whatever, right? So, if you've, over the course of life, at some point, go to the land records and look. Now, I recommend that people kind of look up and learn what's going on before they have a problem, right? Doesn't it suck when your car won't start, you're in some other state, you're on a road trip, and it's your first time having a certain problem and you have no idea how to fix the problem, and you're completely helpless on other people, and you're completely helpless, you're completely helpless, right? So it's very empowering to have had done a little bit of basic research I recommend that people do basic research on all areas of everything. Become a jack of all trades, because if you become a jack of all trades in all areas of life and all areas of things that are important and maybe significant, at some point you'll know, you'll be empowered enough to know something, and then you can go and hire the expert, right? You may not be the expert, but at least you know a little bit, you know. And people in today's day and age, they don't know anything about growing food. We're all so dependent on just paying with our debit cards at the grocery store for food and then bringing it home, and we don't know anything about refrigerators. We know, well, you have to plug it in and you have to pay your electric bill and it stays cool in there, and we can put our food in there and it lasts longer. That's all we know. And it's a very sad situation that we don't know anything. Our educational system sucks. And people watch TV and they don't learn stuff. So, I mean, I'm learning all sorts of other skills. I don't know a lot about, you know, growing food and farming. You know, maybe some other people are farmers and they know a lot about that, and that's great. But if you're not, maybe you should learn a little bit about, you know, how to plant a seed and grow, you know, a string bean or a tomato plant in case you ever need to do that at some point, right? So I have books on all sorts of things that I'm trying to learn a little bit about, so that I know a little bit about it, okay? It's very helpful. So I recommend that everybody learn a little bit about chain of title and liens on property and things like that. So anyways, the bottom line with this this question that we had was, she said that she did bankruptcy. So we already explained that she doesn't owe the debt. There's no lien, levy, or garnishment that they can do. There's no claim. There's no debt that exists anymore against this person. But the lien is still there. Now, something else I just want to mention, I kind of skipped over. If you owe the debt, What can happen if you owe a debt, whether it's an unsecured debt, like a credit card, or a secured debt, like the mortgage? If you owe the debt and you don't pay it, what can happen over the course of time? Well, there's some debts that have statute of limitations, and there's some that do not. The ones that have statute of limitations, very commonly, it's credit card debt. Within 3 to 7 years, depending on your state, the debt will be wiped out if you do nothing and you do not admit the debt. So if you hide from them, you don't answer their calls, you don't answer their letters, and you hide from them for 3 years up to 7 years, they will, by law, by statutory law, they will be forced to discharge the debt and leave you alone, never contact you again, and they can never get the money again. Now, some debts do not have a statute of limitations. Student loans do not have a statute of limitations, generally. Tax debt, generally, doesn't have statute of limitations either, because obviously they write the rules, and they're not going to give you a statute of limitations remedy on owing the IRS money, right, or the state taxing agency money. So that's why there's no statute of limitations on that. Now, there are other ways to discharge debt other than bankruptcy, but that's the only mainstream way that an attorney will ever tell you. Yes, you can do debt validation and verification processes. Yes, you can do lots of things, and you can even discharge it in a private capacity as a secured party. But that's the topic for another audio or for a coaching call if you want to talk with us about that. But just another thing that's significant here. Why is it important to get rid of all your debts? Why is it important to discharge your debts, whether you go through a bankruptcy, which I don't like, I already explained that, or you go through one of these private processes that discharge your debt, or whether you just write out the statute of limitations, if there is a statute of limitations on the debts that you have. Why is it important? Well, four reasons. I mentioned three. I just want to kind of go over the fourth one. So we mentioned liens. We mentioned what they are. We mentioned levies. Levies just when they take the money from an account that you know, the government controls, maybe like I said, a pension account for you or whatever, or your own accounts. Okay. your own bank accounts mainly, right? They can just levy it. They can just grab it. They can just grab it out of your account, okay? That's a levy. And a lot of people confuse, oh, they froze my bank accounts with they levied. If they levied, they just yoinked the money out. They just grab it out. That's a levy. They're just taking what is theirs. Everything left over, you can still use. So your bank account's not frozen, it's just levied. Now, if your account goes into a negative due to the levy, if the amount that they're levying is more than what was in your account, then yeah, your account will be pretty much frozen until you deposit enough money in there to go to a positive balance, which at point it doesn't really make any sense. You would probably just want to close the account, open up a new bank account with a new bank, and start at zero or whatever you deposit into the new bank account. Right? If you're negative $1 million in your bank account, you're not going to go deposit $1,000,001 into the bank account immediately just so that you can still use that bank account. That would be stupid. You would just go and bank with someone else and close that account, or let that account, you know, fall into, you know, you wouldn't close the account in good standing with the bank, but at least you can start over, okay? So, let's see, that's a levy. Levying can also be of your property too, and it's a very rare circumstance, but they can force you to disclose all your, in certain situations, they can force you to disclose all your assets and then levy the property from you. Now there's certain laws to protect consumers and debtors and all the states basically. And they can't, you know, they can't levy or seize your only automobile, right? Because you need transportation. Okay, so at least the system recognizes, no matter how much money you owe to how many different parties, at least they can't take your only automobile. But if you own more than one automobile, that's a luxury, not a right. Okay, you may have a right to travel in the convenient common form of conveyance of the common day and age, automobile. You may have a right to do that, but you don't have a right to have 10 automobiles and for them to be Lamborghinis and you know, Rolls Royces and expensive stuff. You have a right to have a car, but anything more than one, they can levy and seize, but they can't seize your only car. Okay, so there's a lot of great things about the system. At least they don't cross the line and, you know, make us complete slaves. Although some people would beg to differ on that. It's all perspective. But that's a levy. They can levy your money for your bank account or any other property or assets, although it's very rare. And a foreclosure, they're kind of levying the house, but since the house is not movable, technically it's not categorized really as a levy. They're doing a foreclosure. So foreclosure is a different definition. It's a slightly different, but in a sense, in a simplistic way, they're kind of levying that too. But they're really retaking possession of the property legally and kicking whoever is possessing the premises off the premises because they have a lien on the property, not on the individual who owns the property. The individual that owns the property can be transferred, you know, really, you know, 5 times a day if you want. And so the owner, they're not doing the foreclosure on the individual, they're doing it on the property that they have a lien on based on that contract, the mortgage. So, now the way, if you paid off the mortgage, by paying it, not discharging it, if you paid off the mortgage, then the lien would be released and they'd file at the land records, release of lien, discharge of lien, etc., and then their lien would not be recorded anymore on there. And then whoever bought the house or who possesses the house, there's no lien on that property, so it's free. It's free and clear. And when it's free and clear, you could take out another mortgage and it won't be free and clear, but at least you got a pile of cash. Right? If you need $300,000, you can now take out a mortgage and you just have $300,000 deposited into your bank account, but there's a lien on the house again, and there's a mortgage on the house again. right? So you start all over again, but at least you got some liquidity. You got some equity, what they call it, out of the value of the property, and you cashed out on it, right? And so if you need funds for an investment, and you have a property free and clear that you own or inherited it, and it's got no liens on it, you can do a mortgage and get the equity value out of the property. And you can get the, whatever it is, $300,000 or more or whatever, and you can have that money at your disposal. But then you're gonna have to be making monthly mortgage payments if you want to be in good standing and not be removed from the premises with a foreclosure again, right? So that's that. This is just very basic stuff, but this is a basic, it's like a 101 course on secured debt with mortgages and unsecured debt. And this is kind of what this is turning into. So I will, obviously I will save this and let other people listen. So one of the other things, you got liens, levies, garnishment. We all know what that is. If you don't pay your debts, they can track down who your employers are through background research, you know, private investigators, whatever, and they can send notices of garnishment to your employer, and they can garnish it, which is taking it, it's like levying money from your paycheck at the source before it's even given to you. So it's like a third, it's kind of like a, almost like a lawsuit against the person who employs you, and it says, hey, here's the documentation stuff. This guy owes us a debt, and you know, we got this judgment in court order against him that he does indeed owe the debt. We're not just saying it, right? They need to have the judgment, and they say, hey, now we can attach you to this claim because you're paying this guy. So we need to take the certain amount of money out of every paycheck for us. Otherwise, it ain't fair. This court determined that he owes us this, the money, right? So that's what a garnishment is, and certain states have different rules and restrictions on how much they can garnish from you. And so, you know, again, you know, the IRS is an exception. They can garnish up to 90%, I've seen, of your paychecks. So they are an exception, but other states have different restrictions. I even talked with a client the other day. He said that in Texas, they cannot garnish your paycheck at all. Again, I think the IRS is an exception, but I'm sure that they're an exception, but things like credit card debts and things, he stated, oh, they can't garnish here in Texas. So I could easily find and verify that by doing a quick Google search, you know, Texas garnishment laws for credit cards, right? And I can just do a little bit of research and find out if the information that my client gave me was correct or not. It's verified, you know, you can go to Just Answers as well, and you can get the information. But different states have certain restrictions that they can only, for credit card debt, only garnish up to 10%, or for private breach of contract judgment debt, you know, maybe it's the same amount or maybe it's more. So there's different rules, statutory laws and rules that protect consumers, because you can't work and give your full paycheck to somebody. They have to have a limit of how much they can garnish. Okay, so the system has limits and restrictions even, which is a fair thing, you know. So that's that. Now, we talked about liens, levies, and garnishments. These are three things that can happen if you don't pay your debts, whether they're secured or unsecured. Now, the fourth one that I wanted to mention as well is a set-off, okay? Mostly it's the government and the state, right? They can do a set-off. If you're entitled to funds back from, you know, some class action lawsuit or some trust, state trust fund thing, or, you know, something. One of the most common ones is an inheritance, right? If you're inheriting money from anyone or from any reason, right? Or including, you know, sometimes the government does, you know, remember when the government did these stimulus packages and everybody got a check for $600, right? Tax refund, you know, the Congress passes a law, says, oh, we're gonna give all, you know, we're gonna give everybody back, you know, money, right? From the budget, right? Instead of paying off the debt or investing in other social services, oh, we overtax people the last few years, we're gonna give them back, you know, $600. Which is what they did, I think, under Bush. They did a stimulus And at least that's what they call it. I mean, it's all bullshit, but if the government owes you money back like that, Congress says, oh, we're going to give people some of their tax money back, they could do a set-off, and they can keep that money, right? Especially if you owe, you know, if you defaulted on federal student loans is really the main one, okay? Or if you have a federal debt with the government, right? So any of those things, they can set off, and they can keep money that they otherwise would have sent to you, right? Same thing, Social Security checks later on in life, sometimes they're exempt, sometimes they're not exempt, sometimes they're partially exempt. You go to Google and you type in whatever and you find the answers. Or you go to Just Answers and you ask a lawyer and you find the answers, okay? So that's public information. Some Social Security is fully exempt or partially exempt from certain types of set-offs, garnishments, things like that, levies, things like that, okay? Because Congress, in its infinite wisdom of socialism and the system, and the reason why they implemented Social Security system in the 30s, you know, they have a certain reason and intent. And so if Social Security checks can just be garnished, then they're going against their original intent and the reason why they brought that into Congress and voted on it and approved on it in the first place. So Social Security checks, you know, it's a big thing politically and in Congress, and people having steady guaranteed income when they're older to retire and live off of is kind of a big political issue. People agree with it for the most part. So that's why they have certain exemptions and exceptions on garnishing Social Security checks or setting off Social Security or levying Social Security checks or anything like that. So now the big thing here is inheritances. If you are in somebody's will and they die, then you are going to be inheriting a certain amount of their money or assets once it's all counted up, right? Once it's all gone through the whole, basically the probate process, the public probate process is basically a public auditing through the court system. It's a public auditing of all that person's assets and all their debts, and then once we count everything that they have, cash, bank accounts, property, whatever, and determine all the value of all that stuff, their homes, cars, everything, you know, gold, silver, you know, investments, retirement accounts, you know, life insurance, but once everything is counted, stock certificate, you know, ownership of companies, once everything is counted up and we determine for factual, you know, full auditing of everything, okay, now what are the debts that they owe? Pay off the debts. Now what's left over? Now based on what's left over and what's in their will, or if they have a trust or whatever, what gets sent to whoever the heirs are, HIERS, the beneficiaries or the heirs of that all caps legal person, right? So that gets sent through that. Now if you have a trust set up, you can avoid this whole probate process. It's expensive, it's long, you gotta make sure you have a right attorney, you do everything correctly, because there's a lot of situations and money and stuff at stake. So trusts are a way that you can avoid that. And there's a great book on that by, the best one is Norman Dacey, D-A-C-E-Y. A lot of books on this. He's got a book called How to Avoid Probate. Such a powerful book that the attorneys ganged up and tried to prosecute him for practicing law without a license, which was a frivolous claim that he defeated and won against. But the lawyers were concerned about him putting out this information and people being able to create their own trusts and avoid the probate process, because the estate planning lawyers make a lot of money and they depend on the ignorance of the people not being able to figure this stuff out themselves and put these things together themselves. So, you know, when people die and their relatives are left over ready, you know, oh, well, what do we do now? The house was in their name, the bank accounts are in their name, what do we do? We don't know how much money they have, we don't know what they had in their bank account, what do we do? So people go to a lawyer and they pay a bunch of money to the lawyers. And it's the ignorance of the people not knowing what to do and not having trusts set up beforehand and not having people able to control and continue to administer and control the estate of the person after they pass away, the because that situation is not set up. There's a whole very profitable area of estate planning lawyers and attorneys. And you know what? For the people that are ignorant and or incapable of handling their own affairs or the affairs of their loved ones, there is a rhyme and reason and a purpose for those attorneys and lawyers. Unless you're a go-getter, sharp, intelligent, and willing to seek out knowledge and empower yourself like I am, if you're going to be just lazy and your whole family and relatives are all lazy, well, then there's a wonderful purpose for those lawyers, because the lawyers are very motivated and very money hungry and greedy, and it's a great thing that they exist so that they can do what they can do for the people that are lazy, right? But if you're not lazy, you can do it yourself. So if you're in the top 10% of the population and you're not lazy, then you can set up your own trusts and estate planning and wills and things like that. It's not that difficult. There's books on it. You can go to Barnes & Noble and you can buy books on it, right? And you can go to Amazon, you can go to Barnes & Noble, you can buy books on it, you know, estate planning basics, you know, estate planning for dummies, you know. There's books out there, trusts, you know, how to create your own trusts and wills for dummies. There's information that's out there. And we have a secured party creditor process where we set you up with basically everything you need to get started with that as part of the secured party creditor process. So check out the secured party done for you process, and it's all, you know, the whole trust and bypassing probate process is all included in there, and the bank account, and that's all the asset protection, it's all included in the secured party package. So make sure you check that out if you're unaware of that. It's one of the amazing benefits of becoming a secured party creditor in the first place. So the problem with not taking care of your debts, we talked about liens, levies, garnishments, now this set-offs of any monies entitled to you from the government or from inheritances is very significant, because one day you may realize one of your relatives died and they had money that you didn't know about, or they had assets that you didn't know about, and then when they sell off their homes and their assets and stuff, and there's this pile of money, if you owe any debts that you've defaulted on, those monies can and will be used to pay your debts before any leftover money is finally dispersed to you. So I would invite you to take a serious look at debt elimination, which we are experts in, okay? I would take a serious look at debt elimination, secured and unsecured debts. If you are defaulted on any secured or unsecured debts, any money that's distributed to you that goes through any court system, which would include the probate process, if your family relatives did not have a trust set up, or even if they did in some instances, if any of that money goes through the court system and you are an heir or beneficiary, if you're inherited to any money or assets or property, that money, property, assets can be levied in a sense, garnished in a sense. Really what it is, the correct verbiage, the correct vocabulary, the correct definition is really a set-off. S-E-T-O-F-F. It's really a set-off. It's really a set-off. Very similar to a levy. You could also kind of call it a levy. Okay, but it's really a set-off. So that money will be set off and sent to whoever you owe the money to, whether it be the federal government, whether it be, you know, back taxes, whether it be a defaulted federal student loan. These are big ones that they will be set off to. So if you don't take care of your student loans, especially if you're in default status, you need to take care of them ASAP, because what if one of your relatives dies within the next year and then you're entitled to any amount of money and then you don't get it because all that money is sent to pay off the student loan. So I would encourage you to look at debt elimination, student loan elimination, credit card elimination. Now, to kind of wrap up this recording here and kind of come full circle, the lady who emailed me or left a voicemail mentioned about she already discharged her debts in bankruptcy. Not all of them. If, you know, she had defaulted student loans. Again, you can't discharge those in a bankruptcy. If she had tax debt, you can't discharge them in a bankruptcy. But she did discharge the mortgage. You can discharge the mortgage in a bankruptcy. However, the bottom line is that it doesn't get the lien removed from the house. We talked about what a lien is. We talked about the land records. We talked about how you can go to the land records and you can look up your own property address and you can see all the previous owners and stuff, right? You can look up your neighbors. You could find out if your neighbors own their house free and clear or if they paid off their mortgage. You know, what a great thing. If you are an entrepreneur like me, I just came up with this idea right now. If you're a wannabe entrepreneur or an entrepreneur, if you're motivated, ambitious, and you want to live a better life, and you want to obtain financial freedom, you want to get rid of your debts, and you want to make, you know, a good financial stability for yourself, if you want to excel in life, if you want to provide things for yourself and your family, and maybe your community that you've never had the opportunity to provide for before, or if you have succeeded in the past and you're looking to succeed again, here's a multi-million dollar idea. I just came up with this right now. Since it's public information, all the mortgages that people have, or whether there are the mortgages are discharged and the liens are removed from the properties, what if you go down to your local land records, and what if you look up all the on your home street address or neighboring street addresses, why don't you, you know, keep records and write down and see, let's look at all my neighbors or my closest neighbors or the neighbors that I'm friendly with the neighbors that I get a good vibe. You look at someone's house and you see them coming home from work and taking out the garbage and smiling and whistling, and maybe you've said, you know, hi neighbor, maybe you haven't. Maybe you don't know who they are, but you just get a good vibe. You look at their house and you go, oh, people, you know, look at the way they maintain their house, and, you know, they push their kid around the stroller and they go for a walk every day in the neighborhood, and I see them and I wave at them. They're, you know, they're listening to their iPod, and I walk past them while I'm jogging or riding my bike, listen to my iPod. You know, look at the people. You get the feel for the people in your neighborhood. And if you live in a bad neighborhood and you don't get a good vibe with people, then go to a different neighborhood, right? Go to a nice neighborhood. But you go to a neighborhood with his nice people, you know, nice people live next to unnice people too. It's just the way that it is sometimes, right? But it's the law of numbers. If you knock on 30 people, well, let me backtrack a little bit. So you write down in your little notebook on all the addresses, right? And you look up the addresses. Let's say you look up 30 addresses at a time. And you go through and you check off and you check off and you check off and you see who has a mortgage still and who doesn't have a mortgage anymore and owns their house free and clear. There's no lien recorded on the property. If their lien was released and there's no new mortgage after that date, then they own that property free and clear. And you can look at the property and say, oh man, that's a $500,000 property. Oh, that's $1 million property. Oh, that's a 200,000 and it's kind of falling apart. You know, you could tell from looking at the property based on your own life experience and tell the value of the property. What a great way to find would-be investors for your business project, right? You're a wannabe entrepreneur. You have a great business plan. You have a great invention. You have a great patent. You have a partnership with someone else. You have whatever your idea is that no one has ever thought of before. You know, there's all these wonderful wannabe entrepreneurs. And I encourage people, this is the American dream, the opportunity to achieve whatever degree of success and wealth and financial stability and prosperity for you and your family and your community, if you want to give back to your community, that you want. This is the American dream. This is the American dream. I'm giving you a tool right now how to achieve the American dream that maybe you've never thought of before. I've actually never thought of it before myself. So what if you went to the land records and you looked up and found who in your community or any community you wanted to go to and contact people, who owns their house free and clear? Because if they own their house free and clear, and you present them with a business plan, right, and you're professional, and maybe you have business partners, maybe you have, you know, a really great plan, maybe you have a really great invention, maybe, you know, I don't know, you have some asset, but, you know, I mean, you can go to Office Max, Office Depot, Staples, or you can buy online. There are tools and packages for you to create your own business plans if you've never created one. Or you can hire people on different websites, or you can even hire me to create a nice fancy schmancy business plan. And you can get it all laminated, and you can put like these little binders together, and you can create a little stack of, you know, 10, 20, 30 formal business plans, right? And if it's an impressive business plan and you present it to people, it's a law of large numbers, right? You have to approach the right people, but you have to approach enough numbers of the right people. So if people have money and you present it to 100 people, I'm sure if it's a good plan and you know, you're vibrating for prosperity and you're mentally and physically calibrated for future success, you will achieve it if you approach the right number of people with a business plan that works, that one person decides to invest in, right? So if you go to the land records, you could find out who doesn't have a mortgage anymore. And if they like your business plan, I mean, maybe they have some money, maybe they have some savings because they paid off their mortgage, maybe because they're not paying a mortgage anymore, they're pocketing all their income and they're not writing a $2,000 check to the mortgage company every month. You know, you might want to think about it like that, but just because someone doesn't own a mortgage doesn't mean they have money necessarily. Doesn't mean they have a lot of money. Maybe they spent all their life working to pay off the mortgage. But the bottom line is that they have their house free and clear. So if they were presented with a business plan at the right time, at the right place, by the right likable personality that was friendly to them, and made a relationship with them, or maybe knew them through another party, or maybe you already know these people, you know. But maybe you're friendly with one of your neighbors, and you've had nice chats with them, and you never thought, you know, he's got this house. I don't know if he paid off his mortgage or not. You can find out. You can spy on them at the land records and find out what the deal is. But if you contact people that have their house free and clear, and they like your business plan enough, or they like someone else's business plan that you're an affiliate of, whatever, they could remortgage their house. They could get the 300 grand that we talked about, or the 500 grand, or whatever the value of their house is, they can get a new mortgage, and they can free up six figures, or if the house is $1 million or more, they could free up seven figures, and then you can convince them to invest that money into your company, and they could be a partner with you, or a part owner with you, right? If it's your business and your plan and your drive, you could do all the work, they put up the money for it, you split ownership in the company, you know, 50-50 or 70-30, or you give them shares in your company, or whatever the situation is. And I plan on putting together very detailed, precise plans and how-to guides for all this stuff if you've never done this before. Or if you want some guidance on this, I'm putting together plans on how to create business plans. I'm putting together plans for how to attract investors. I'm putting together plans and tactics and techniques and strategies on how to get your own funding possibly, or how to get funding from, if you are denied funding from banks, you can get funding from individuals, from other peers of yours. There's various websites, there's various communities where people will give you a loan if a bank wouldn't give you a loan. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I'm planning on putting together. It's a massive, massive, massive project. At this time point, I'm trying to free up my time to work on this project and idea. And so I'm in the process of training and outsourcing all the other tasks that I do for the company so that I can continue to work on this project. But I have been working on it, and I'm planning on putting together a world-class how to achieve financial success if you're an ambitious wannabe entrepreneur. Okay? And the books, I recommend that you read books to prepare yourself and get in the right mindset. I recommend that you, for one, if you're interested in in being part of my future class on wealth and success and entrepreneurship. I recommend that you watch Shark Tank, okay? I recommend that you, it's a TV show for entrepreneurs and how they pitch investors and get funding and get partnerships with successful millionaires and billionaire entrepreneurs. So I recommend that you watch the show Shark Tank. It's like the most popular TV show. If you never heard of it by now, it's the most popular show on TV. I recommend that you read books by Napoleon Hill and Anthony Robbins and Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N, who's another one? Brian Tracy, Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. Different books by authors like that. The book and the documentary that came out, The Secret about the Law of Attraction by Rhonda Byrne, B-Y-R-N. It's a very powerful book and very powerful documentary. If you haven't seen it, you really must see that. And there's lots of information out there like that. Abraham Hicks has got some good materials as well. So if you're on that bandwagon and on that wavelength already, then that's great. You're already preparing yourself for success if you're not already successful, or if you want some other tools and want to be part of my course to contribute things to my course that you have discovered, then that's great. Please get in contact with me. But I'm working on putting together a world-class course for people who have already proven themselves that they want to become successful, that they want to make a lot of money. Because this, my mission and purpose is not just about eliminating people's debt. If you eliminate your debt, folks, you're back to zero. You're still not successful. You're still not free. You need to have a two-pronged approach. Eliminate your debt and make money, right? And you have to, the number one, really the only way to make money is either through investments of other people's businesses or to create or found your own business, either by yourself or with a group of people or with somebody else, right? So we plan on giving people a lot of options to become wealthy and successful financially, and we plan on giving people a lot of tools and a world-class curriculum. So kind of like how we have the status correction course, we're going for sovereignty and teaching people how to become private citizens, American nationals, secured party creditors. They're pretty much all synonymous terms. We have a status correction course on our website. So kind of like how we have that, we're going to also have a wealth creation course. I don't know what the name of it is going to be, but I'm already been working on putting it together and putting all the tools together. It's going to be a world-class course. It's going to be world-class. It's going to be nothing like it. I don't think anybody has ever done anything like exactly like this before that I've planned and that I'm currently working on. I don't know the cost right now. That will be determined after all the work is done and I'm spending large amounts of resources and reducing the amount of income that I'm making right now and doing a lot less coaching calls and a lot less sales activity and marketing activity than I could be. And so I'm losing money every month that I could have otherwise been making by devoting a portion of my time and energies working on this project. But I just feel in my core, I feel that this is part of my passion and my purpose. And when I do the promotion at some point months down the road and I start to sell this, I'm sure I'll make all the money back that to make up for the time and energy and labor and effort that I put into it. So that's my plan. So I'm sure there'll be several of you on this listening to this call that resonate with that, and I applaud you for wanting to be part of my course and respecting my vision and my information. So if you've got a lot from learning from me so far, then this is going to be probably the best thing I've ever done. So make sure that you get all your secured party creditor and all your status correction and all that stuff done now, because when I launch the wealth creation course later on in the year, or it might be early into, it might be like early 2017, so it'll be either be later on towards the end of 2016 or early 2017, but make sure that you get all your secured party, all your status correction, all your debt elimination, all your problems out of the way now, from now to the end of the year, right? It's July 2016. So you got July, you got August, you got September, you got October, and it's possible I might be launching the course in November, December, or January. Or possibly shortly thereafter, February. So make sure you get all your debts eliminated, all your status correction, all your everything that you need to do, all your legal all your stuff, your trusts, asset protection. Make sure you get all that stuff done now so that later at the end of the year and early into next year, we can really focus on wealth and financial prosperity. Because again, it's a two-pronged approach, right? Get your status corrected, of course, so that you can protect yourself and not have liability. Get your assets protected and deal with, you know, your trust, and you have to deal with probate and all that stuff. Get that done, but also the financial success. You know, asset protection is a huge part of it, but then you've got eliminate your debts. I think so. It's really a three-pronged approach, I guess, right? Asset protection and status correction, which is part of one package. And that's number one. Number two is eliminate your debts, which you can do with discharges after you've got your secured party status, right? So asset protection and status correction, secured party creditor status, private citizen status, whatever you want to call it, American national. Then debt elimination, which can come after that because you can discharge debts through the treasury, or there's lots of things you can do. And contact us for information. Once you're a secured party, we can have a call and map out your plans and strategies. And then number three would be build wealth. What can you invest in? And you know what? A lot of people on this call, most people are not entrepreneurs. Most people are not savvy business people yet. Most people might be more skilled at customer service. There are a lot of people out there that are very great employees. They're very great at customer service. They're very friendly people, but they're not business-driven people, willing to work long hours and go out there and, you know, turn over every stone in order to find a solution to fix this problem with the business, right? Not everyone's a business owner, and that's okay. This course is still going to be for you. This is still going to be a great course for everybody, because we're going to break down and teach you whether or not you are an entrepreneur, whether or not you have the capability mentally and physically to be an entrepreneur. There's a certain type of a personality, there's a certain type of mental wiring. Okay, we're all wired differently. Our brains, our neurological makeup, we're all wired differently to do different things. Some people are very good at farming and gardening, and some people are very good at being a mechanic and working with their hands and different things like that. Some people are very, very friendly. They're great people to be, you know, waiters and waitresses, and the people that you go to get coffee and ring you up on your cash register and smile at you. Sometimes there's people that are great at doing that, but they wouldn't be great at running a company, and their brain is just not wired. Their genetics are just not wired to do so. Some of the skills can be learned, and to a great extent, some people can be moderately successful business people working with others to make up for the things that they are weak in. And that's where partnership comes in. So we're gonna cover all that stuff in the course. And we're gonna help you to determine, if you're not sure yet, what, you know, how you can own a business or invest. You can invest in someone else's business and they own part of it and you own part of it. And you don't have to do anything. You could just sit on the sidelines, and by you putting up the money, you own part of a business that brings in profits and money to you on a monthly, quarterly, or regular basis, if it's successful. So we're going to teach you strategies on how to shop for other businesses that you can own. We're going to teach you everything under the sun. So it is going to be a course that is for everybody, and it's going to be world class. It's going to be kind of involved, but it's going to be for all types of people, okay? So, where to go from here? Let's see. I think I answered the question there with the lien on the house with the lady. But for everybody that's listening, like I said, you got three things. You got status correction and asset protection, and debt elimination, and financial wealth, prosperity, and success. So, three goals that you can put on your goal list there. And as far as this lady here, I think I'm wrapping up this question, or anybody else that's dealing with these common situations. Basically, if you have a lien on your house and you haven't paid the mortgage in years, okay, she said she went through bankruptcy and she eliminated her owing the debt. Okay, do you understand that distinction? She doesn't owe the debt anymore, which means she doesn't have to worry personally about any liens, levies, garnishments, or set-offs in her name. But the bank still has the lien on the house in this example, and they can still foreclose, and whoever possesses the property can be kicked out, and the bank will foreclose and become the owner of the property again, and be able to do whatever it wants with it again. Which they will probably put it on the open market for sale, for sale, etc. So, what's her name again? What Cora needs to do is get with somebody that can stop the foreclosure process. Or delay the foreclosure process so that she can stay in the house longer. She's not making mortgage payments, so that's fine. But she can stay in the house longer and continue to operate and not have to put out a rent or not have to put out a mortgage payment, which she has not done in 3 years. So she saved a lot of money that she otherwise would have paid. And she just needs to delay that as long as possible until she gets herself on her financial feet again, and then money's not an issue for her anymore. But for most people, they need as much time as possible. For most people in her situation, until she gets some successful investment or business thing up and going, or works out whatever financial plan she wants, she needs to delay as long as possible and be able to stay in that house as long as possible, without being kicked out, without being forced to make a mortgage payment, without being evicted, without the house being sold, and yeah. So she needs to delay it as long as possible. And so we have at Understand Contract Law, we have a partner that does foreclosure remedies. And so what she needs to do is go to our website, go to all products. When the drop down comes down, go down to stop foreclosure, click on stop foreclosure under the products menu, and fill out the application and follow the instructions. And it'll ask to also submit some of the mortgage and foreclosure documentation. Okay, so if you submit that information and pay for a coaching call, one of our foreclosure experts we'll review the information very carefully for a good length of time. You may have more than one individual reviewing all your dozens of files and your questionnaire for a good length of time. Then, about 3 days after you submit all that information, you can call and talk with the exact individual who reviewed all your information and who is an expert on stopping foreclosures and or at least delaying for many, many more years into the future. The reason why I hand selected this individual, we've had this website for almost 5 years, and I've gotten contacted by thousands of people, and I work with one individual that I've personally vetted and inspected and verified does a fantastic job at. They will do all the work for you. You don't have to do any of the work, but they will do all the work for you if you choose to work with them. And they can stop the foreclosure, and they can delay it as long as possible, and possibly forever. It's very, very possible that you can stay in your house for the rest of your life with no mortgage payment. Now, people ask, but what about the lien? Can you guys, if I work with your foreclosure department, can you guys release the lien on the house so I have the property free and clear? Because there's advantages to people having the property free and clear, which we discussed. Well, the problem is that it's very difficult. They are working on that. It's just very, very, very difficult. It's more expensive because it's more labor and it's more work, and there's no guarantee that they can do that for you. It's very difficult. If we had a remedy that can do that, I mean, it would be a fantastic thing. You know, anybody, if you know anybody that has a remedy for that, it's a very fantastic thing. Please get in touch. But it's very hard, and the banks are not going to let people just get their houses back free and clear, release the liens very easily. Okay, even if you discharge it through bankruptcy, like I said, doesn't release the lien. And even if you discharge it through being a secured party creditor, it still doesn't release the lien. It just makes it so that you don't have to pay the debt back. You don't owe the debt, and they can't lien, levy, garnish, set off, whatever. So it's difficult to release the lien. So the best situation for most people is just stay in the house and don't pay the mortgage, like you already aren't. If you already aren't, just keep staying in the house, get with some foreclosure defense experts like us, and we can keep you in your house for as long as possible, and you can keep pocketing the money that you're saving or investing it or using it to start a new business or invest in someone else's business or just pay your necessary living bills or medical expenses or whatever you're dealing with for as long as possible, possibly forever, very possibly forever. Maynard, who is my foreclosure expert in that department, has a very good plan and has been working with many people. Every client I've ever sent him for the past 3 years is still in their home, as far as my knowledge and understanding. Still in their home. I check in with them years later. Hey, you're still in your home? Maynard, still working for you? Yep, everything's great. Okay, fine. So, great reports. He's worked with well over 100 clients. And he does a fantastic job, and as far as people report, they're very, very, very happy with him, and he's very accommodating with people's financial circumstances, and he does a great job. So this is not the forum for me to detail exactly what his procedure is or what his process is. You can talk with him about that on a coaching call, but he would prefer that you submit all your documentation first so that he can look at it, because his strategy may be different. It's different for everybody based on what he sees in your paperwork. Okay, there's not a cut and paste remedy for stopping foreclosures. In our experience, it just doesn't work like that. It's not gonna be that easy for people to just post online, here's the cut and dry stop foreclosure remedy. It's not that easy. If it was, the whole banking system, you know, the banks would lose so much. I mean, the banking system has got to make it very difficult. They're very powerful interests. There's so much money at stake. And the whole system and status quo is just being held by people. They have to force people to pay the mortgages, right? And they have to be able to kick people out of their homes easily if they don't. Otherwise, the whole system will collapse. Everybody will stop paying their mortgage, right? So the whole status quo is bent on convincing people to keep paying the mortgage, otherwise they think that the house will be sold and they'll be kicked out of their house. So to get a remedy like we have, where people that are in foreclosure can stay in their homes, continue to stay in their homes while they're not making mortgage payments for many years into the future, possibly forever, because the remedy we have has some teeth to it, right, that can kind of stick it to them in a way where they can't come back on you. Okay, so that is the goal and that is the plan. And whether or not that works for you, you will just have to see over the course of your life. But that's the plan, and it's a very effective plan, and it's working right now. So it has been working. Releasing the lien is very difficult. He's still working on that, and it's possible that he can upgrade once he's perfected something like that. But the benefit of the lien not being released for you right now is that the bank, if you haven't paid your mortgage the bank is still paying the property taxes for that property, and they're still paying the homeowner's insurance. In the vast majority of cases, the bank pays the property taxes and the bank pays the homeowner's insurance while you're defaulted on your mortgage payments. And while you're in foreclosure, and while you're not making mortgage payments, they're still paying the property taxes and insurance. So you should be happy that you don't have the lien released and your house free and clear. Because if you had the lien released and your house free and clear, you would be the one paying the property taxes and the homeowner's insurance. So you would have to pay a payment every month or every quarter for those two services or situations. So if you're not prepared to do that, don't be calling me asking to, is there a way to release the lien of the house? Because if you can't afford to kick in property taxes and the homeowner's insurance, or you're not willing to do so, and or you'd rather not do so, you'd rather have the bank pay it, then just let them keep the lien on the house. Stay in the house, continue not paying your mortgage like you aren't, and just be happy. Use the money wisely. Use the money for what you need to use it for, whatever situation you're in, medical, living, whatever, but try to get into some way to invest in some business that someone else runs or that you run or that some partnership or something like that, and look upcoming later in the year for some announcements on our financial business investment / business funding. We show you how to get business funding for yourself. Or to approach and pitch other people on investing in your business. And I gave you a great idea. I could find your neighbors that, you know, can have their house free and clear. And in the best scenario with all the other factors, and if you had the greatest business plan and were the greatest salesperson and you were able to convince people, you can conceivably convince people that have their house free and clear, if they don't have other monies at stake, you can convince them to take out a new mortgage or a home equity line of credit at least, and free up $100,000. Free up more money than that. And they can use that money to be an investor in your business. So listen, folks, the money is out there. I just gave you the resources to tell you where to find people that have money or can come up with money. And if you think that that's powerful information, just wait till you see till I come out with the course, because I can probably detail 7, 8, 9, 10 different methods like that to show you exactly where the money is. Okay, and we're gonna have resources where you can go directly to banks, even if you think you're getting denied for credit cards right now. Just wait and see the resources and information and tactics and strategies and tools and contacts that we have that we can provide that can help you to get funding or investors or investment. I'm going to detail it all in the course when I have it together. It takes a tremendous amount of time and preparation, and just make sure you're ready for it when we announce it, because everyone's going to have to jump into the course at the same time so that we can have live conference calls and webinars with everybody on at the same time. It's not going to be something that you can just drip on anytime you want later in 2017. You can sign up for the course. It's going to be at a very specific time, and you have to be ready for it. So please, if you're interested, get with some of those resources, the Shark Tank and the books, and get yourself mentally calibrated and prepared for the stuff I'm going to instruct and guide you all on in the course. And make sure you get all your secured party status in order and all your debts eliminated before then, if possible, so that you can get all that stuff cleared out of your way and you can make way for the new. So anyways, folks, it was a pleasure doing this call. I hope that a lot of you got a lot of value from it, and I hope to be interacting and meeting many of you at some point in the near future. And it was a real pleasure putting this call together. And I'm just really excited for the future. I have so much to give and so much to teach and so much to plan and collaborate, and I'm just really looking forward to the future going into the end of the year and into 2017. There's just there's just so much that you don't even know that I haven't even explained here that I'm just aching to share and get out to the many, many people who I love that are have the same belief systems as I, have the same, you know, awareness and consciousness of what's going on in the world today. And I do is just love for us all to prosper, have all our debts eliminated, and all of us make, you know, lots of money in ethical ways, in ways that are helping the world become a better place, in ways that are helping our communities become a better place. I just love for us to all prosper together. And hey, if many of you can become multimillionaires alongside me and my partners and Ava and Mark and some of the other people that I work with over the next couple of years, that would be great. If we can have a group of people together that excel, that become, you know, several dozen people that become millionaires and have all their assets protected and have all their debt-free millionaire status, right? Because there's a lot of people that become millionaires that still have debts and still have liabilities and still have, you know, a lot of things strangling them in the process, taxes and all sorts of things strangling them in the process. And, you know, let's create debt-free millionaire status with the assets being protected, right? So that they can never be taken from you. That's what my plan is. That's what my vision is. That's what my offer is. I don't think that there's a lot of sites and courses or anybody out there that's putting that whole package together just like that. There's people that can teach you how to make money, but they don't put that whole package together so that you can keep it all, right? So that's what our intent is. That's what we're trying to do. And we have some wonderful materials. Again, it was a pleasure putting this call together. I look forward to hearing from a lot of you soon. And this is Tyler with Understand Contract Law and You Win, signing off. Talk to you all soon. I'll send out an update again for you all soon. Okay, bye-bye.